And in Romans 12:9, we read, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Giving to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. How many here are living out this passage of Scripture perfectly? No one? Well, that's good. We're all together then. And certainly there's a message here for every one of us. Now, as we've worked through the book of Romans, remember that chapters 1 to 11, Paul has established that to be right with God, to be justified before God, is by faith alone. That is, faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, to have God's approval, to have God's acceptance, to have salvation, to have forgiveness of sin, and to look forward to being in heaven with Him. In chapter 12, he's teaching us how to live that out. The life of a justified believer in Romans 12:1-2, he talks about relationship to God. As a Christian, how do you live before God? You give your life to Him. You present your body to Him. In verses 3 to 8, he teaches us how to be a church, how to be Christians together, how to function together in the Christian life, and that is through the use of spiritual gifts that God gives to each believer. Every believer is gifted by God to serve the body of Christ. Now in verses 9, he comes to the matter of love. You could go through the motions of being a Christian. You could even pretend to be serving with spiritual gifts. But without love, it is nothing. It is shallow and is empty. And this matter of love is primary. And this passage deserves our utmost attention. We must not refuse to look at this. We cannot ignore it. Pray that the Spirit of God would impress your heart this morning with this passage of Scripture. As a preface to getting into the text, it is impossible, absolutely impossible, for any person to look at this text and take it to heart and think that this is the way we will live without a real knowledge and belief in and submission to the sovereign grace of God. If you don't have that, and you are not there, you cannot possibly live out the truth of this text. It is God's love through us that makes this real. This is not just humanistic secularism. This is divine, and this is spiritual. So it is on that basis, then, we begin at verse 9 to take this into account. The practice of love is, first of all, sincere love. Let love be without hypocrisy. So, being a Christian, being in a church, serving together, cannot be done with ulterior motives. Has to be sincere and real. And as you think about this, there's hardly anything worse in life or more repulsive than a person who's putting it on, who comes to you with a pretense of love, with flattery, and makes you feel like a pancake dripped in syrup when it's all for nothing. Love must be sincere, must come from God Himself, and flow through us. Nothing worse. The primary example of the pretense of love and serving the Lord, probably the Pharisees, that group of people in Jesus' day, the religious leaders who were putting it on and loved to parade by praying on the street and making their appearance appear as if they were in repentance. And Jesus dealt with them. In fact, we could say that the people who received the most harsh action from Christ was those who were putting it on. He didn't have these words to say to the people who were living in outward, overt sin. But he had this to say about the Pharisees. You hypocrites. You snakes. There is poison in your life. And he did not put up with it. If we want to live out our Christian life, it has to be done with sincere love toward each other. Let's not be phonies. Let's not try to fake it. Let's take God's word seriously. Love has to be sincere. Secondly, he says it has to be practical, where he says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate what is wrong. Hate it. Abhor it. Detest it. And of course, to establish what is wrong and what is good, we have to turn to biblical authority. Society is all messed up this morning in their standards of what is good and what is evil. So what we believe about that must come from the Bible. What is good and what is evil? Well, it has good has to do with purity, relationship to love. Love must be pure. Can't be mixed with anything wrong. So we learn something about that. What is biblically good is righteous. And what is evil is unrighteous according to biblical standards. If you have questions today about what is good or what is bad, turn to God's word. Get the guidance there. Get the authority of what God says. So as we think about the passage, Paul says that love must be sincere, love must be practical, and now he teaches us that there's an affectionate love. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In the church, in the Christian life, it's proper to think of ourselves as a family. We are brothers and sisters. In the first church I went to, those terms were so common. Everybody was greeted as brother and sister. And we've lost that. But it's a good thing to think of each other that way, with tender affection. A few years ago, we had the privilege of having J.I. Packer come and speak to us on Sunday morning. If you don't know who he is, he's a pretty well-known national Bible teacher, a great privilege. When J.I. Packer got up in front of us to speak to us, he looked out and said, "Brothers and sisters." Well, that just kind of melted my heart and provided a relationship there that made me want to listen to him. We're brothers and sisters. And the word used here is Philadelphia love. Brotherly love with tender affection toward each other. With delight to honor the other person. In honor, giving preference to one another. To delight to honor others. To put the interest of others before ourselves, without selfishness. We have sincere love, practical love, family love. Now, beginning in verse 11, Paul gets into the qualities of love. How do you define love? In human terms, it's really kind of difficult. We have to really find out from the Bible what it is. 1 Corinthians 13, we learn about kindness and patience and so on. And Paul lists some of those qualities here. How do you spell out love? How do you see it in life? And how can we tell about our own life if we are living this out? Verse 11, he says that we are not to be lagging in diligence. That is, love is industrious. It isn't idle. We should not ever have a reputation for laziness. Paul said the man that won't work should not eat. Gets that practical. We should not be idle. We should use every opportunity to serve each other in love. That's what the passage is about. Here's a quality of love. The second one is akin to it, being fervent in spirit. That is to be zealous and to look at serving each other with enthusiasm and to enjoy doing it as unto the Lord. So our love is industrious and zealous. And thirdly, Paul uses another term. It's to be active. How do you serve the Lord? By loving fellow Christians, by serving the body of Christ, by being faithful to them. Now, Paul gets into three things here that are common throughout the Scripture with regard to hope and patience and prayer. It's an optimistic life. Of serving each other, rejoicing in hope. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice in hope. Hope is a vital thing. And we have hope. If we think of it biblically, the primary thing about our hope is heaven. We know about our eternal destiny. And we live there, and we don't let the everyday circumstances of life rule. But what rules and governs our life is the hope of eternal life and the knowledge that God is going to get us there and preserve us to be there. So we rejoice in that hope, and we serve each other by sharing that hope. That's why testimony is vital. How are you doing this morning? Well, I got some real trials. I've got real troubles. But my hope is in eternal life with my Lord. And that's what carries me through. And so that is love, sharing our hope, rejoicing in hope. He says, be patient in tribulation. This word has to do with endurance. In fact, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, love endures everything. Love lasts. It is eternal. And as we are patient in tribulation, we see life from God's viewpoint. And we can be patient with each other. If you know a brother or a sister who's in a trial, be patient with them. Be very patient with them. Help them through the trial. And they in turn help us. Paul caps off this sentence by talking about prayer. Be faithful in prayer for each other. Kind of persevere in prayer. If there are those among us who have a need, we keep on praying for them. In verse 13, Paul talks about love in terms of generosity, distributing or giving or sharing to the needs of the saints. Here's a quality of love. Love is generous. Love is giving. And love counts that giving as a privilege. We are not under Jewish law to give. We are under the grace of God as a great, great privilege of giving. And one of the worst testimonies against Christianity during these days is brought about by the people particularly who get on television and have a half-hour program and spend 25 minutes of it trying to get money and then offering some little gimmick to people. If you send your money to me, I'll send you a pen. Or a book or something. Or if you send money to my ministry, God is going to bless you. Don't believe it. If you give, you don't give to get. That isn't giving. You give, period, unconditionally, generously, cheerfully, with sensitivity to the needs of other people. You think about that. As you greet a brother and sister, you say to yourself, how can I serve them today? What could I give to their needs? And I'm willing to share. In fact, as we're thinking about love, and we have some sincerity about living this out. What is the ultimate expression of love? It's giving. Love doesn't withhold. Love gives. You say, Bill, how can you say that so dogmatically? Well, I read John 3:16. And that passage says to me, God so loved that he gave. And he didn't give us something cheap or trite or trivial. He gave us heaven's greatest possession, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came, he gave love is giving. And we could say it goes a little further than that. Love is sacrificial giving. You give up your time. You give up your provision to meet the needs of the other person. What a great privilege. Paul closes out this section by saying that love shows hospitality with an open heart. I receive you into my heart as my brother and as my sister. And if I have a home, I receive you into my home. And every Christian ought to understand that if you have a home, a place to live, that is God's, not yours. It's God's. And it's for the purpose of serving God's people. So you have an open heart and an open home. And you're willing to accept some personal inconvenience to be hospitable to other people. To be with them and invite them in to share the burdens, the caring, and to give them love. Love is unconditional. We cannot merit God's love. We cannot earn it. And in reality, we cannot really earn love from other people. We just aren't that good. Married love is putting up with the faults of each other. And living in a church family is putting up with the faults of each other, understanding that love is all by grace. But it's a marvelous thing, is love. What a great thing that God teaches us. Love heals. Love forgives. And this morning, let us be prayerful that we'll be a loving church family. We might do some other things, but if it isn't based on this passage of sincere love, we're phonies. So love is a kind of a surrender. You may be a difficult person for me to love. And I may be a difficult person for you to love. We all have that. But we surrender any area of selfishness, the desire to have my way over against yours. And we surrender to love. When First Peter wrote, he said, love covers a multitude of sins. And that's true. The healing relationship of love. Several years ago, when we were in our first church out by Baker and Fairview near Orange Coast College, we had seven wonderful years with that church family. At one point, I was losing some inner peace over disturbance of some relationships and conflicts. And I think Faye was pregnant with Becky. When we went to Mammoth, we camped out. Yes. Not an easy time. So I think we were at Lake Mary. Is that a lake up at Mammoth? Yeah, okay. And thinking through, and I went out and sat on a log and was talking to the Lord. And the thought came to me, Bill, just go back there and love everybody with all your might and all your strength and all your heart. Just go back and love. At that moment, relief and peace came to me. And I don't know how good I fulfilled that, but at least I went back with that idea. And what a great thing that is, when we can surrender to love one another, as this is what we are called to do in this passage of Scripture. How does the justified believer live out life? With sincere love and all of these other qualities. Dear Lord God Almighty, help us this morning to live out this passage of Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit, who sheds His love in us and loves through us. Help us this morning to surrender to love and to express that love through giving. And help us to do that today in very practical ways. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a letter. Maybe a visit. Maybe a sensitivity to someone which we haven't had before. Lord, you know so many ways. Work that out in our lives and cause us this morning to leave this place with people who give expressions of sincere love. And may it all be to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and whom we serve. In His name, amen.